Chapter 6. Careful Cultivation.
It is not a perfect technique, Jarlaxle argued. Would Matron Xerath have me risk the masterpiece that is Zacnaphane?
You were supposed to deliver him to Matron Malice, cleansed of his memories, High Priestess Kiri replied.
Of some memories, Jarlaxle corrected. Would you have him forget his training?
You are a frustrating one, Jarlaxle.
Is Matron Malice displeased?
No, Kiri admitted. Quite the opposite if the rumors of her nightly screams are to be believed. Jarlaxle chuckled at that, shaking his head at the reputation of the insatiable Malice d'Urden.
Another skill that was not erased by the Oblodrin psionicists, he said to bolster his point.
And yet, you were given extra coin to employ a psionicist of that house, Kiri reminded him.
And thus I employed one to counsel me, and in that counsel I reconsidered the wisdom of your choice, Jarlaxle answered.
Kiri's expression was full of doubt.
It is not a perfect technique, so I was told, the mercenary reiterated. All of this might have been to ruin if I had let the psionicist intrude upon the mind of this brilliant warrior. Was it worth that risk?
Perhaps not, Kiri said, and held out her hand anyway.
I had to pay for the counsel. She motioned with her fingers, wanting the extra gold back.
With a grin and a chuckle, Jarlaxle produced a small purse from his magical belt pouch and handed it over. Matron Xerath fears that we might have dropped a wounded displacer beast into the home of Matron Malice, Kiri admitted, if the Simfrey champion is thick with angry memories.
He is not, and any he might harbor would not be directed toward his new matron in any case, Jarlaxle assured her.
Kiri grinned knowingly.
You have heard that House Treyarch has fallen, that Matron House was slain most brutally.
There are whispers, yes, was all the confirmation Jarlaxle would give, along with a sly grin.
She knew, he understood. She knew that he had granted Zacnaphane revenge.
Please assure Matron Xerath that Zacnaphane did not need to have his mind and memories wiped clean by a psionicist Oblodrin or a mind flayer. He will behave.
Who are you?
Kiri Zor-Lauren asked, unable to hold back a chuckle.
A houseless rogue.
The High Priestess snorted and shook her head.
I trust that Matron Xerath was pleased with my performance, he said with a bow.
Kiri remained laudably impassive.
If we need you again, we will call upon you, she said, and turned to leave.
Jarlaxle was glad that he had gotten through that encounter so easily, and with the Zor-Larans apparently okay with his decision to not wipe Zacnaphane's memories. On a strictly personal level, Jarlaxle didn't want that. In their short time together, he had become intrigued by the Simfrey, or rather, Do'Urden champion. As he moved down to the Brerin, though, Jarlaxle more than once considered the possibility that allowing Zacnaphane to keep all of his memories had not been kind to Zacnaphane. When he entered the oozing Myconid, a tavern that prided itself on having the foulest beverages in the Drow city, and saw Zacnaphane sitting at their customary table, head down, shoulders slumped, that unsettling notion was only reinforced. The mercenary motioned to the bar. Like the staff of every tavern in the city, they knew him well and knew what to bring him, and moved to join the weapon master of House Do'Urden.
Exhausted again? He asked, pulling up a seat at the table before being asked.
Matron Malice is killing you, my friend.
Zacnaphane lifted his gaze upon the mercenary.
You are not my friend.
Jarlaxle motioned to the bar again.
Why would you say such a thing? He asked. Truly, I am wounded.
You would be if I could get away with it.
Zacnaphane ended by lifting his drink to his lips and scowling at Jarlaxle from over the rim. But the mercenary caught something else in that scowl, something less threatening.
Is it malaise or exhaustion, then?
Jarlaxle asked with a sly grin.
You seem very interested, Zacnafane replied. Why not go and sample Malice's wares yourself if you have not already?
Would that not bother you?
Zacnafane's snort was sincere, the mercenary knew.
Is it not at least enjoyable? Jarlaxle pressed.
Zacnafane shrugged. Her skill is undeniable, and few practice more diligently.
The warrior couldn't suppress a small smile, a crack in his armor of dourness, and Jarlaxle laughed aloud.
Then what is it, my friend? Jarlaxle asked. You're in a superior house to Simfrey by far, and one that has the notice of the great houses, yet enough alliances to assure that it isn't simply obliterated. Your own star will rise along with House Doerden's. Matron Malice is ambitious enough to ensure battles in the near future. She brought you into her house for your sword and your dagger, he said with a wiggle of his eyebrows, causing Zacnafane to roll his eyes. To fight and to sire. So why the malaise? Why is Zacnafane out of House Doerden this night and roaming the stench streets, drinking ale and wine inferior to that in Matron Malice's cupboard?
You asked me to meet you here, Zacnafane dryly reminded, as always.
True, true, but why do you come? You owe me nothing and deny that we are friends.
You pay for the drinks.
Ah, but as we've already discussed, you have finer drinks at House Doerden, and I am sure that Matron Malice provides all that you want as long as it does not render you unconscious and unable to please her.
And Malice makes of me a banner for House Doerden, Zacnafane blurted, and Jarlaxle then had his answers. He noted that this was the second time Zacnafane had referred to Malice without using her title, an offense that could be punished by death in Menzo Baranzon, where matrons were supreme, even sacrosanct. Zacnafane was bored, notwithstanding the excitement he might be offered in Matron Malice's bed. He was a banner indeed, walking the outer balconies of House Doerden to show off Matron Malice's powerful new acquisition, and to remind the other houses, the ambitious lesser families, the fearful equal families, and the efficiently ruthless greater families, that the cost of attacking House Doerden could prove great. But Zacnafane had no interest in protecting House Doerden, Jarlaxle understood, and he had understood the same thing with this one regarding House Simfrey, other than self-preservation. Zacnafane held no allegiance to Matron Malice or to anyone else, and the lack of purpose and lack of excitement were battering his sensibilities. The fact that he had been taken to a more stable house, where battles with other houses were not common, as they were among the most minor houses like Simfrey, was not, to Zacnafane's thinking, a good thing. Jarlaxle smiled as he studied the warrior, remembering the look on Zacnafane's face in the battle for House Simfrey. That version of Zacnafane would never wear such a frown and scowl as were on display here this night. The barman brought the drinks Jarlaxle had called for, and Zacnafane reached for his, but Jarlaxle grabbed the warrior by the forearm and held him back.
No more for now, he said.
Zacnafane stared at him curiously. As soon as the barman had moved away, Jarlaxle explained,
I have found a weakness in the defenses of a noteworthy house, Barris and Delarmgo. If we are clever, we can get in, and there are treasures to be had, ones that a warrior such as yourself would greatly desire.
You want me to go on a burglary with you?
Zacnafane incredulously replied.
There are potential rewards.
And potential costs.
You do not strike me as one filled with fear.
That gave Zacnafane pause.
But why? He asked.
For the same reason you come here, Jarlaxle answered. To keep yourself on the edge of disaster, to keep yourself alive.
Barris and Delarmgo?
Zacnafane asked after a short pause.
I have heard of this house.
Perhaps if we are fortunate, we will find Weapon Master Uthagentil when we are in there, Jarlaxle replied with a smile. Then I will get to learn if Zacnaphane is as mighty as the whispers hint.
Jarlaxle knew what he was doing, and those words soon had the pair leaving the oozing Myconid side by side. Zacnaphane's mood seemed much improved. He walked with a purpose and an eagerness, his hands going to the hilts of the fine swords sheathed on his hips. He wouldn't need them, though, Jarlaxle knew, not tonight, for Jarlaxle had paid handsomely for this excursion. Still, Zacnaphane didn't grow disappointed when Jarlaxle's planning proved to be perfect, perhaps too perfect, and the pair slipped into the Barrison del Armgo compound and across to a small stalagmite that held a side armory. No alarms were raised, no guards came against them. In short order, the pair were back out again, without being noticed at all, as far as Zacnaphane could tell. They weren't laden with loot, and indeed had taken only two items, swords, and had left two behind. Whatever disappointment Zacnaphane might have felt in the lack of battle was surely mitigated by the fact that he now wore finer blades on his hips than those he had abandoned. "They will never even know," Jarlaxle confidently assured his partner in crime when they crossed the city to the west wall. Zacnaphane's previous blades were not much different in appearance than these, and only a priestess or wizard bothering to try to detect magic on the weapons, and only one very skilled in the divination, would recognize that the enchantments on these two were much stronger than on the sword Zacnaphane had left behind in the Barrison del Armgo armory. "That is the best kind of thievery, you know," Jarlaxle offered. "Where the victim remains oblivious." Zacnaphane shrugged. "Seems a great risk for so little reward." Jarlaxle nodded his agreement, but privately, he most certainly did not agree with that assessment. The reward for him was not the sword Zacnaphane now wore, but the bond that he had strengthened between himself and this intriguing and superbly skilled warrior. Although the swords were pretty spectacular in their own right. He left Zacnaphane before the wall beneath the balcony of House Doerden. "Half a 10 day," Jarlaxle asked, setting their next meeting, and the warrior nodded, eagerly, Jarlaxle thought. The pair met a handful of times over the next month, mostly drinking and playing bar games and finding enjoyable diversions with lovely companions in the oozing Myconid's many smaller bedchambers. On one occasion, Zacnaphane managed to join a brawl, and another night, Jarlaxle took him on a scouting expedition that very nearly got them caught within a private compound by the priestesses of a ruling house. Life had become a game for Zacnaphane, as it was for him, Jarlaxle recognized, and so he was happy. The rogue eagerly anticipated each new encounter with the weapon master, until the next scheduled meeting, that is, when the confident mercenary entered the oozing Myconid to find Zacnaphane's chair empty. The mood of the tavern seemed sober that night, and when Jarlaxle sidled up to the bar, the barman silently handed him a rolled parchment. "I am not desiring such attention, Master Jarlaxle," the proprietor of the oozing Myconid said. "None of us are." Jarlaxle broke the seal, the emblem of House Doerden, he noted, and began to unroll the parchment, but stopped quickly, took out a wand, and cast a disenchantment upon it, then paused and called upon the dispelling powers of the wand again for good measure. With a sidelong glance to his barkeep friend, Jarlaxle moved to the far corner of the room, away from everyone, and very slowly unrolled the parchment. It had indeed been heavily trapped, the script on the parchment penned in a devious wizard's ink that would explode when read. Jarlaxle's suspicious nature and an incredibly valuable wand had dispelled the glyph. Mostly. A burst of fire jumped out at him, and he tried to duck away. He nearly got under it, but his scalp and hair caught some of the flames. His hair was still burning when he stood back up straight, and then flamed higher when a nearby patron, trying to help, no doubt, threw his drink upon the smoldering hair. A drink perhaps a bit too strong for such heroics, which instead simply puffed into a small fireball over Jarlaxle's head. But then the barman was there with a pitcher of water, and the crisis was averted, except for his singed hair. Cheers and laughter rose up within the oozing Myconid, and Jarlaxle took a bow, acting as if the whole thing had been staged for their pleasure, and trying not to grimace at the lines of pain shooting into his head. He had to blink his eyes hard and repeatedly to focus his vision as he read the parchment. And for all the drama and burning, it simply said, "Appear at the court of Matron Malice Doerden immediately."
"Not a good day for you, Rogue," the barman noted, reading over his shoulder. "It might be that some things are more trouble than they're worth."
Jarlaxle considered Zacnaphane then and shook his head. "And some things are not," he replied. He left the tavern and headed toward House Doerden, but veered for the Claw Rift. He needed some time, and as he considered his next move, one thing seemed certain. Matron Malice was not happy. First and most important things first, though. Jarlaxle needed some healing salves and a good mirror. He needed desperately to do something with his half-burned hair. He went right to his private chambers in the maze beneath the Claw Rift. He sifted through the ruins of his perfectly shaped white forest and sighed heavily when he recognized that it would take a long time to repair the damage, and likely more than a little coin, since the scar would be considerable, and spellcasters with such power didn't come cheaply. Then, on instinct, he took a different route. For many years, Jarlaxle had kept all but the top of his head shaved, both to accentuate his spiked coif and because he simply liked the shape of his head. So be it. He could like it more. With a twist of his wrist, he produced a knife from a secret compartment on his belt, and then delicately went about the task of sculpting the remaining white forest, leaving him with an exquisite line of hair along the middle of his head, from his forehead to the base of his skull. A bit of dark makeup from his disguise kits to cover the still raw skin, and the mercenary not only could look at himself in the mirror again without wincing, but thought he appeared rather exotic and fine. "Good enough, then," he congratulated himself, then considered his options for only a brief moment before convincing himself of what he had to do. He went to House Doerden boldly. "You are, or were, of House Simfrey, then?" Matron Malice Doerden asked when Jarlaxle was brought before her. "Never, good lady," he replied, and he swept a low and graceful bow. "Then how do you know my weapon master?" she demanded, and around her several drow bristled, including the huge priestess Breeza, even more formidable up close, who looked like she could break Jarlaxle in half with her bare hands. Jarlaxle offered that one a smirk and nodded knowingly and teasingly at her before answering. "It was I who took him from the field of battle and brought him to you. On behalf of Matron Zirith of House Sorlaren, I should say." It amused him how much the bluster went out of the gathered Doerdens, with all in the room exchanging nervous glances, no doubt wondering if their brash Matron Malice had at last put herself into a pit too deep to escape. Not Malice herself, though, Jarlaxle noted. That one, clearly quite unshakable, just sat back in her throne comfortably and stared down at the mercenary. "Fine. You brought him to me. But I did not pay for half of Zacnaphane," she said. "Yet you seem to think that we should share him." She tapped her fingers together before her delicate and very pretty face. "My lady," Jarlaxle started to respond. "I did not give you permission to speak," she said. "I was but answering. I asked you no question." Jarlaxle held up his hands and for once kept his mouth shut. "Who are you?" she asked. He didn't answer. "That was a question," she pointed out. "I am pondering how best to respond, for the truthful answer is one more complicated than you would think." "You are Sorlaren?" Jarlaxle laughed and shook his head. "I am of no house, and at the same time of all houses who would desire my services. I am a houseless mercenary, trying to play with the matrons of Menzo Berenzon. Disgusting!" Breeza said. "Bregan de Earth is my house," Jarlaxle clarified. "And it is one that House Doerden would do well—" "What is that?" a seemingly unimpressed Matron Malice demanded. "And who are you particularly?"
I am the one who delivered Zachnephane to you in response to the request and recompense of Matron Zerith Zorlaren, Jarlaxle reiterated, and quickly so that he could not be interrupted yet again.
And you are a mere male, Malus warned. Never forget that,
Jarlaxle, he replied, with another sweeping bow. A humble servant of chaos, doing what I might to make the world a more exciting place.
You will not much like the excitement I will create about you, the dangerous Matron Malus promised.
She nodded to the side, where a curtain was then drawn, revealing a very unhappy Zachnephane.
How do you think you would fare against this marvelous warrior I have taken as a consort? If I tell him to kill you, he will.
Jarlaxle shrugged.
So confident, Matron Malus mused. How will you fare against him when he is gigantic and has 8 skittering legs?
This one, Jarlaxle asked, indicating Zachnephane. Nay, you would not do that, and Lolf would not sanction it.
Beware your words, the large priestess beside the throne growled as Malus's eyes went wide.
I don't fear my own words, he said flippantly. He pointed to his friend. He is a magnificent warrior, and thus he is Lolf blessed, I am sure. Jarlaxle took note of Zachnephane's failed attempts to hide his grimace at that remark, but continued anyway. You would not waste him so.
You would do well to realize that you know nothing of what I would or would not do, Malus warned. And you and your band of houseless nothings should take note that I am watching now. You will never see Zachnephane Doerden again, rogue, unless it is in the last moments of your life.
Yes, Matron Malus, Jarlaxle said with yet another respectful bow. He thought it was time for him to take his leave, and so he did.
Why? Asked the diminutive matron of the strangest house in Menzo Berenzon, powerful because they were in truth an enigma to the others.
Tjorl Odrin ruled House Oblodra, whose strength rested on the little-known magic of the mind, the same powers practiced by the Illithids. If there was a dark elf in Menzo Berenzon who could employ that psionic magic who was not of House Oblodra, Jarlaxle didn't know her or him, which was why he was before Matron Kjorl today. He shrugged, acting as if he didn't understand the question.
You are not one to spend favors on such trivial things, the matron clarified. And what happened to your hair?
Jarlaxle reflexively ran his hand over his mostly bald pate, but only lightly, not wanting to smudge the makeup covering his most recent scar.
You do not approve?
I very much approve, Kjorl replied. The strange style fits the strange Jarlaxle.
Many consider House Oblodra to be the strangest of all.
And we count on that to keep them afraid, Kjorl said with a laugh.
Jarlaxle laughed along, but was too nervous to allow for the distractions. Have you found any success?
I have to be careful, you understand, she replied.
To invade the home of a drow family is an act of war. That is why I asked you, because your intrusions cannot be discovered.
Anything can be discovered, Jarlaxle, and you would do very well to remember that. But yes, I have seen inside House Doerden, and through the eyes of Zachnephane, and your suspicions of his melancholy were well-founded.
Jarlaxle blew a heavy sigh. Even when she beds him, his thoughts are on murder, Matron Kjorl explained. Every thrust is reimagined as a dagger plunging into the witch. He thought back to a comment he had made to Zachnephane, using the same analogy, and inwardly winced.
He's trapped, Jarlaxle whispered, speaking more to himself than to Kjorl.
He sees his life as tedious and without purpose. He came out of his contemplation to regard the matron, who was staring at him with an amused and knowing expression.
And you intend to do something about that, Kjorl remarked.
Take care, for Matron Malus is flush with fire and often acts before she properly understands the implications.
She paused and looked at him slyly.
Ah, but you have no intention of arguing with Matron Malus, do you?
I know someone who can better make the case,
Jarlaxle admitted. When you go to Matron Mother Bayenry, give her my best wishes, the matron of House Oblodra said insincerely. Jarlaxle nodded and matched Kjorl's smirk with a wide grin. He knew that this one hated Matron Mother Bayenry profoundly, but knew, too, that she would be glad to have Jarlaxle put in a kind word about her to the dangerous Bayenry. Such were the webs of Menzo Berenzon, always shifting, always shimmering, always ready to catch one who did not step lightly. I will, he said, and Kjorl laughed and nodded. The month rolled by. Jarlaxle did not forget, but neither would he move impetuously.
He wouldn't go to his benefactor with this unbidden, for there was too much at stake here, and he wasn't quite sure how to gauge the dangers of Matron Malice Doerden. He couldn't just ask a favor from Matron Mother Bayenry, after all. Menzo Berenzon didn't work like that. He needed a reason to include his desire in her desire. Finally, he found the opportunity when he was called upon by a representative of House Bayenry, instructing him to perform a service for the Matron Mother. It seemed a fairly simple and straightforward task, and one Jarlaxle and his rogues had performed on previous occasions. He was to go to the drow city of Chednasad and assassinate a priestess who had whispered ill rumors of House Bayenry into the muddy ear of a handmaiden of Lolth. His first instinct was to gather Arath Asune and a few others specializing in such wicked business for the assignment. Matron Mother Bayenry had not called upon him in a long while, after all, and it would not do to keep her waiting. The entire future of Bregendyerth rested upon the strong shoulders of Matron Mother Ivanel, and she was not known for mercy. But this was his chance to find that which he really wanted, he told himself, and so Jarlaxle instead rushed off to House Bayenry. He was known there, and so given audience, though with powerful guards, supremely armored and armed all about him. "I received your instructions and am prepared for the journey," he explained, when he found himself before the throne of the great Matron Mother of Menzo Berenzon. "Then why are you here?" she asked coldly. "To beg of you a favor." "Need I remind you that the favor I bestow upon you is in merely letting you live?" He swallowed hard and bowed as respectfully as he could manage. As much swagger as he possessed, he could not find his confidence here, standing before Ivanel the Eternal. I live to serve you, he stammered. You serve Jarlaxle and none other, she replied, but with a laugh, which gave Jarlaxle a bit of hope. But you are sometimes useful, which is why I let you play with your little band of criminals. Jarlaxle shuffled from foot to foot. I would ask for a private audience, he said, hardly expecting his request to be granted. But Matron Mother Bayenry surprised him, and probably everyone else in the room, when she clapped her hands together loudly, dismissing her guards and those Bayenry nobles in the audience room, all of whom rushed away without hesitation or question. Jarlaxle stood before the most powerful drow in the world, and he felt far less at ease than when he had been surrounded by a host of powerful Bayenry nobles, priestesses, wizards, even the great weapon master Dantrak, and guards wielding cruel weapons. He looked at her, studying her smug expression, and understood in that instant that she had well anticipated the effect of dismissing all her allies. She was reminding Jarlaxle that she didn't need them, and letting him know in no uncertain terms that she feared him not at all. The mercenary lowered his gaze and quietly chuckled, and indeed drew strength from the woman's confidence. If she didn't fear him, and she should not, for he truly did mean to serve her, then perhaps she would listen to him with an honest ear. "Do tell me of this little favor I'm to do for you, and do not bore me," she said. "I need your assistance in procuring an associate for this task you have requested of me," he said. Matron Mother Bayenry scoffed rather loudly, her volume and tone giving Jarlaxle the distinct impression that she suddenly believed that torturing him to death might be pleasurable. He suspected that such dark thoughts had been magically suggested to him.
That wasn't supposed to be possible with his eye patch, of course, but this was the matron mother of Menzo Berenzon here. He could not help but feel naked and defenseless under her withering gaze. Still, he had a reputation for brazenness to uphold, and so he tried to recover with, "I only ask because it will allow me to serve you better." "There are only two people in here," the great Bayenri replied, "and neither of them believe what you just said." "Well put, matron mother. You're very close to being a waste of my time, Jarlaxle." He swallowed. "There is a warrior, a champion, I wish to cultivate," Jarlaxle said. "I would have him accompany me to Chednasad and serve beside me when he can. He is a brilliant fighter, so much so that he is known to Weapon Master Dantrag, I am sure. Take a wizard. I prefer a blade master." Matron Mother scoffed at that. "There is a reason that Dantrag holds little power in this house, though he is the finest weapon master in Menzo Berenzon." It occurred to Jarlaxle that a certain hulking warrior of House Barrison del Armgo might have something to say about that recounting of hierarchy, but he wisely kept the notion to himself. "Zachnefane, Malus de Worden's new plaything," an exasperated matron Mother Bayenri reasoned. "You are speaking of the former Simfrey champion, Zachnefane. You're as transparent as the protections of that ridiculous thing over your eye." Jarlaxle swallowed hard. "What is it about that one for you, Jarlaxle?" Matron Mother Bayenri asked, leaning forward in her throne and resting her elbow on her knee and her chin in that hand and seeming very much intrigued. Jarlaxle, quite flummoxed, found himself without words, and so he simply shrugged. With a huff, Matron Mother Bayenri waved her hand, sending him away, and on some magical cue, no doubt, the chamber began filling with Bayenri nobles and guards once more. Jarlaxle bowed with every step backward until he was out of the hall, and he didn't linger for a heartbeat in the great compound of the city's first house. He would go and prepare his hunting party, suddenly keenly aware that he would do well to not fail in the task Matron Mother Bayenri had put before him. "What bothers you?" Matron Mother Bayenri said to her second son, Weapon Master Dantrag, soon after Jarlaxle had departed. "Nothing, Matron Mother, of course," Dantrag dutifully answered, bowing repeatedly in an obvious effort to eliminate any notion that he was complaining. "You do not particularly like Jarlaxle," she observed. She looked around at her other children as she spoke, and knew that she could have been addressing any of them with that remark. And why should they like the houseless rogue, of course? House Bayenri was supreme in their eyes, rightly so, and the idea that such tasks were being contracted out to a mercenary band was bad enough. Shouldn't they be the ones going to Chednasad to kill the priestess who spoke ill of Evanel the Eternal? But a band composed of mostly males and led by males? "The good fortune of this band, Bregan D'Earth, will serve us in ways that allow us to focus our efforts on those things that matter most," she said to Dantrag, to all of them.
"If he ever disappoints you, I will gladly kill him," Dantrag replied with another bow.
That brought a smile to Evenel's old face, which Dantrag clearly took as a compliment, particularly when she added, "I am most confident of that." But that wasn't why she was smiling. None of her children, not Dantrag or the Great Gromph, nor High Priestesses Triel, Quenthal, or Sosumtu, none of them knew. Jarlaxle didn't know. Other than Evanel herself, there were perhaps two others in all the city who knew, and if they spoke of it, they would evoke the wrath of Lady Loth herself. Jarlaxle was Evanel's son, her third-born son, who had been, as custom dictated, sacrificed upon the moment of his birth. The very next night, right before finishing the preparations to depart Menzo Berenzon, Jarlaxle was summoned to House de Worden. He didn't know what to expect, of course, and so he was quite relieved when he discovered that he would not be allowed entry into the house, nor would he find himself before the wicked Matron Malice that day. Instead,
Zacnaphane was at the front balcony and floated down to the street below to meet the approaching mercenary.
My matron Malice has discovered a newfound respect for Bregan D'Erth, it would seem, the weapon master said with an appreciative grin. Ever since her ogreish daughter returned this day from Arak Tinalith, after a discussion with matron mistress Yvonne Bayenry.
I tried to tell her, Jarlaxle said innocently, and started away, Zacnaphane beside him.
And who must I fight this night in exchange for my reprieve? Zacnaphane asked.
Whoever you choose, I suppose, Jarlaxle said with a snort. For myself, I am off to the stench streets to drink terrible wine and worse ale, and to bed the ugliest woman I can find.
Why?
The drink is only called terrible because it is not rare, and therefore reserved for the haughty fools, Jarlaxle explained.
And the women are only called ugly because they are common, and that is precisely their charm, because their passion is honest and honestly earned, and for the sake of the passion alone.
Zacnaphane just shook his head and muttered his desire, nay, his need, for such a drink.